listening to the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, the campus community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the ancestral and unceded territory of the Halkamilam and Squamish-speaking peoples. I am Jesse.
I am Jamie.
That's Jamie. Oh, we're going to have to adjust Jamie's mic level, but he's there. Believe
me,
he's
here.
We'll just have to yell. And joining us once again, I was going to say four, five, six... And our infinitely returning guest, Jeff Devours, welcome.
Vancouver Mixtape, let me hear you scream.
Are we clout chasing at this point? Maybe.
Thanks for having me again.
It's always a thrill to have you on the show. We love all of your creative output. We love Devours. We love the Golden Age of Wrestling. We love... We love having you in the studio. We always have a good time, great conversations, and just like, it's nice to have nice people hang out for an hour or so, right?
I love you guys. I love chatting with you. Thank you for having me. Yeah, this is gonna be fun.
Oh, great. Yes, this is episodes with you are always like a nice warm hug. But Jeff, we're recording on a Sunday, and you had a pretty big little Saturday, hey?
Yeah, I'm tired. I didn't sleep very much. My voice is a bit shot, but it's not too bad. Last night I put on an album release show at the Rickshaw.
Let's go!
Yeah.
Yeah, for my new album. It's called Sports Car Era. It's album number 5 for Devours. So
wild.
I know.
Wild.
Still doing it.
The march of time is relentless, but at least it guarantees us new music from Devours.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, very excited to talk about the new album, to talk about, to hear a little bit. I feel like we've played all the songs you've released, but we'll revisit them because they're great, as usual. As we mentioned, the show last night, I think that's a great place to start.
Sure, yeah.
I know there's lots of interesting and special things about it, but I guess to start, what does it mean to have that show at the Rickshaw?
Oh, the Rickshaw is amazing. Yeah, I've performed there a few times. I opened for Biff Naked at the Rickshaw, which was
crazy,
totally insane, which was fun. I've also played with Images in Vogue there. It's an amazing space. It's been around for a long time. It was cool to collaborate with them on this. I love Mo. Dave Prowse, who is the drummer from Japandroids, he joined me on stage last night. And so, yeah, we were at a two-piece, which is special. And I'm bringing it up because Dave works at the Rickshaw as well. So
that was
a nice little tie-in.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I was going to go there next and say, you know, kind of burying the lead. Because in the lore and the history of the Vancouver Mixtape, Japandroids and Devours are two pretty big pillars, I would say. Japandroids might even be like the reason we started this show.
Wow.
Or for me, they were one of the first bands that really like drew me into the local scene.
Awesome.
To know that last night's show was a collaboration between you and Dave was really special from a mixtape perspective, I can only imagine what that was like for you.
It was neat. It's been really fun jamming with him. I guess I've just been solo for so long, and part of it, I think, was just like being kind of a control freak and also being worried that if I played with someone that I would be sort of like, you know, like, you didn't do that right.
Sure.
Or like, I'm just worried of my own like ego and stuff like that. But I managed to get past it, and we've been really supportive of each other, and we've been jamming for the past month, and Dave is very humble, and he really took initiative and was like even practicing on his own. Sometimes I give him the backing tracks, and last night was really special. He's a lovely person. It's wild to think of how like the heights that he's reached with Japandroids, and how he's like still active and involved in Vancouver's music scene. That's pretty special, actually. A lot of people, when they get super famous, they're like, whatever,
I've graduated.
Keep going above it. Exactly. Yeah. But Dave is very special.
How did that collaboration come together?
I suppose like pre-COVID. I think that Dave approached me and asked if I wanted a drummer. And at the time, I didn't. Because I was just like, you know what? I kind of like the sound of just the electronic stuff. I don't know if I want acoustic drums over top of it. And so it was a bit of a stylistic choice where I was being a bit like precious and a bit like picky over it. And but yeah, for the last few years, I'm like, oh, I should put on a special show for release, you know, have a big light show, a light rig and everything, and have maybe a live drummer. And so, yeah, he had been on my mind for years since he had mentioned that. And also, I love the idea of like touring with people. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm curious, like, if he wants to keep going with me, then I'm like, let's go play the island or something. It's like nice to, yeah, do it with a friend. Yeah, that was cool.
I think it's interesting. I can understand being hesitant, the reasons for being hesitant to add a drummer, right? Like you said, there's the sort of like stylistic or like acoustic considerations, what it's going to sound like. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it's simpler if it's just you, right? Like, mm-hmm. there's less logistics to manage and everything. But
yeah,
for, you know, collaboration is often such a big part of music, right? And doing it with someone else is often a very different experience than doing it by yourself.
Totally. Right? And it's better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jamming with Dave, I'm like, oh wait, music can be fun.
Right? Yeah. It, right? Oh, it's not just like work.
Fun. Like, I enjoy performing. I feel like it's in my blood. I enjoy being in front of people and stuff like that. But wow, it's like actually, yeah, it's really fun doing it with someone. Like, jamming with someone's like, oh yeah, that's, yeah, it's very special. Yeah. Yeah. So I want to
keep doing
it.
This is why people have been doing this forever. Huh?
Yeah.
This is why it's like a leisure activity for people. Yeah.
Did it change how you like thought or listened or like perceived your own music once you started having a drummer playing over top of it? Like, did you hear your songs differently?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is the right album to do it with, because the last album that I put out, it's called Homecoming Queen, and it was a little bit more like pop oriented, a bit more like polished. And then this one is a bit, it brings out my more sort of like punk influences. It sounds a little bit more like deconstructed, a little bit heavier and darker. And a lot of the songs are rock songs that are just sort of in like synth form. And so, yeah, the album works with live drums, but certainly, I mean, just even like stemming out the instrumentals and being like, how do I leave some percussion in and take some percussion out? And that was really an interesting process. Yeah, like trying to make it work with drums. We ended up leaving a bunch of the percussion in, and just Dave was like drumming over top of it. But yeah, a lot of people last night said that it like elevated the recordings. So that's what we wanted, the live drums.
Well, I know like a lot of hip hop acts, when they tour and perform live, once you get, you know, a big enough budget to have a live band, will do that because there is a different feel. Right. And for a live performance, that might be the feel you want. Like, it kind of depends. It lets you be a little looser, I guess, sometimes.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I also think that like people just want a show.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's I've reflected on that a lot. I've reflected back on like my time in Shindig, competing in Shindig. And I was up against someone named Mark Mills, who is lovely. He's not performing anymore these
you
days.
You put out a split with Mark, right? At some point, did you? No,
I don't know. I don't think that we did. We played a few shows together.
Okay,
musically.
Maybe that's what I'm.
But yeah, I remember like back in the day, I was just trying to be so technical and playing so many different things to like show my skills. And then Mark just got on stage and plugged in his phone, and just danced around. And he's an amazing singer. He's a much better live singer than I am. But just witnessing that, I was like, oh, people just want to be entertained. They just want a show. And so even last night, it's more exciting to see someone else on stage.
Yeah.
Like the drums, the movement, the light show and stuff. And I, so I've reflected on that a lot over the past few years. But yeah, it's nice to have like more going on stage for people.
You want people to feel like they're seeing something special.
Right? Absolutely.
You want those spaces, and doing something just a little bit different than what you've done before is enough for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, the lighting rig you guys had going on last,
it was crazy. It was
a spectacle.
it was fun.
And I don't know if, like, I don't know if there's any single performer that is more entertaining to watch in an ensemble than the drummer. Right? Like there's something like watching, you can watch the rhythm, right? You sort of like follow along with the bones of the track just by sort of like watching that person perform. And it's really like completely physical in a way that, you know, you can play the guitar in it and be very physically performative with your whole body.
Yeah.
But when you're playing drums, like you, you kind of have to be using all of your limbs at the same time, yeah, and there's something about that.
Good point. Yeah, and also just people seeing the cymbals crash and move. Like there was lots of like physical movement. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so last night was cool.
Well, we've spent a bunch of time talking about what the music sounds like and sounds like with drums and the new album being sort of rock songs in a synth way. Why don't we play a track?
Let's do it.
Jeff, do you have a preference for where we start?
I mean, Sword Swallower is really long. We don't have to, but we can do the title track.
Let's do that.
Yeah, the song is called Sports Car Era.
Where can I find that song?
Oh, it's on YouTube. There's a music video.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. In the meantime, Jamie, what was one of your favorite things about February?
Jeez, what was it? I don't know. February is a bad month.
Did you watch baseball?
No, I've yet to dial in. I'm pretty like not in the mood just yet for ball. But we had some sunshine in February. It felt like
it was pretty nice here.
It felt like it wasn't the end of the world for part of it, but I don't know. I'm down, so I'm waiting for some sun. I need a little bit of vitamin D to perk me up a little bit. But I think the reminder that the sun exists was a cool part of February for me.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe listening to Sports Car Era will perk you right back up.
Let's get it.
Rev your engines, baby.
the title track, Sports Car Era, from the upcoming record by Devourers, which comes out this Friday. Is that right?
Comes out on Friday, March 14th. Yeah, ooh. I was trying to line up the album release to be on the same day, and I couldn't make it happen. So album release release show was mm-hmm. 1 week before it. But yeah, it comes out next Friday. It's funny listening to that song. I never realized how much Bulls on Parade by Rage Against the Machine inspired it. But listening to it now, I'm like, oh, whoa. I think I was listening to some Rage when I made that. Anyways, yeah.
It's so interesting. And this has been a theme for every interview I think we've had with you. It's just like your musical influences come from maybe unexpected places, especially considering what the danceability, the electronic nature of it. And like some of the chaos that kind of comes with it. Were you going back to the well that you tend to in terms of musical influences? You mentioned Rage. I know you've talked about nu metal influencing you in the past.
For sure. Yeah. I think that with this album, there are a few sort of like early aughts electro clash inspirations, like Peaches, Fisher Spooner. There's a bit of like maybe Controller. They were a Toronto band.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, a little bit of that mixed with like, yeah, just I never want to make something that sounds like it's not a Devourers record. Yeah, mm-hmm. I wanted them to all sort of tie into the universe of Devourers. And so, yeah, this one is kind of like a mix like all the others. There are a few ballads. There are a few slightly poppier ones. There are some darker ones. Yeah, I feel like this album's maybe the most similar to Iconoclast. Of all of the albums that I've made, this one's kind of reminds me of that one a tiny bit. Where, yeah.
Speaking of fitting into the Devourers universe, maybe like the Devourers cinematic universe, if we will.
Okay.
You have had sort of like a distinct sort of theme or persona or sort of like era for each of your albums, right?
Yeah. I was so mad when Taylor Swift called her Eras Tour.
She stole it from Jeff.
I know. I'm like, no, I am the Eras artist.
It would have been nice if she at least just asked you first,
right?
Yeah, I know. It was rude.
You would have said yes, obviously. Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. Can you tell us a little bit about the concept behind Sports Car Era?
Yeah, sure. So this album is basically my midlife crisis album. I turned 40 last September. And so, yeah, the album, I mean, every album that I put out is basically a time capsule of like mm-hmm. what's going on in my life and my thoughts and anxieties at that time. And so, yeah, when I was writing this one, I knew that I was turning 40. And the title, Sports Car Era, is a little bit of like a wink to the male midlife crisis, buying a sports car. But yeah, I mean, aesthetically, I wanted this one to be a bit of a throwback because, I mean, my midlife crisis is basically just wanting to, like, relive my youth. Mm-hmm. And so my youth, I suppose, was, like, being in Montreal in my early 20s. American Apparel was huge. That was a big, like, visual sort of inspiration for the album, going out and getting this, like, sort of, like, body suit that is not meant to be, yeah, this is a tricky one. It wasn't meant to be sexy. I was a little nervous about the album cover, having people think that it was like a thirst trap or something, but it's meant to sort of be, like, I've reflected so much these past few years on being basically a commodity when you're the face of your own music and your product.
You're
and
a
stuff,
brand.
It puts an insane amount of pressure on you to, like, look cool for labels or for young people. And it's just like, now that I'm 40, it's trying to just find empowerment in that and being like, you know what, I'm not young, I'm not going to appeal to young people, I'm not masculine enough for most gays to think I'm attractive, I'm not what the music industry wants. And so the album cover was meant to be this defiant, like, here I am in a bathing suit on a podium, like, take me or leave me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what the inspiration was for the artwork. But
It's interesting because that is, you know, it feels like a very authentic expression of where you are and who you are.
Thank you.
How you feel, which is in many ways like the inverse of that sort of like buying a sports car midlife crisis thing, Right? Like usually that is to cover up or to be chasing something that is not yourself. So I don't know. I just think that's interesting.
Jesse. Thank you. I'll take it. That's actually awesome.
Completely intentional, I know.
Wow.
Oh, so I guess I keep going back to the influences. You talked about the American Apparel of it all. Yeah. Talk a little bit more about like what from that era was like really exciting to you. What got you happy from those days? This has been a thought that I've been chasing the last couple of years as well. Is like, when was I happiest? What was I doing when I was happiest? I'm interested to know more about how that influenced the latest record from you.
Yeah, I mean, these past few years have been really hard. They've been probably the hardest years of my life. I've been struggling with depression and anxiety, and I think that my life has just been really, really unstable. And when I go through phases like this, then I get lost in the past. And I just tend to, you know, want to feel young again, and I watch shows that I watched when I was like 14 to just feel young again. And so, yeah, I mean, it's like we all need an escape from the insanity of what life is right now. But yeah, sometimes I, you know, want to move back to Montreal and like feel like I'm 21 again, but the city has changed and times change. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, that place doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly. Like it's gone. And so that's a hard thing to grapple with, but yeah, I think that there's still a lot of amazing content and music being made nowadays. I don't necessarily think that like 2003 was the best era for music. It was just like, sure, it was great at the time. I saw it through a lens of being like 22, like moving totally to a city like Montreal. I grew up in Nanaimo on Vancouver Island, spent my first 22 years of life on an island where there wasn't a ton of like arts and culture. And moving to Montreal, that was the moment in my life where I was like, whoa, you're, like, my dreams can come true. Mm-hmm. Like, I can actually be a musician. There were so many independent artists, like, making big moves in that city and renting little studio spaces, and it was so inspiring. And so that's what I think of back, you know, when I think of that era. It's not so much the music as it was just, like, the idea of having hope for, like, oh, I can be an artist. Yep. I don't know if that answers the question.
I think that does, yeah. I love that sort of reflection on it, and I'm curious too. Maybe I'm getting too into the grit of it, but I wonder what like 2003 Jeff would think of like the stake that you've claimed here, especially with this fifth record.
This is the
fifth record of what has been like a really inspiring musical journey.
Thanks. Yeah, it's been a long and winding road to this point. I hope that the 23-year-old closeted Jeff is proud of who I am now. You know, I think that I, at the time, thought that I was ready and maybe wasn't quite ready, mm-hmm. you know, for any sort of attention or acclaim or anything. Montreal was a really painful time. It was an amazing time of just learning and getting cultured, but I wanted to like be a star and be on Arbutus Records, like the big like cool things at the time, and it just completely flatlined. It didn't happen for me. And then moving to Vancouver, I just was too sort of sad to even want to like engage in the scene for a number of years here. And so yeah, it's been a long, long ride, but I suppose I'm proud of like being honest and my music. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and I think that that's, you know, what makes it makes the music successful, makes you successful in the music is that authenticity and that honesty. Because I mean, like, you know, we don't have like, I'm straight. I can't like engage or empathize on some of the same topics. You know, I don't have the exact same life experience as you, mm-hmm. but I can listen to your music and hear you being you and love that, right? And love to hear, and like obviously like the content of what you're saying matters, but it's almost just that like you are being so fearlessly yourself as you're delivering it that makes it like so appealing.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Yeah, it's funny because the songs that I've written over the course of these five albums, they're very gay. I'm not trying to hide it, but I think I've noticed that, you know, I think that some people in my community have connected to the music. I think that a lot of people find it to be maybe too raw or on the nose. Like, a lot of people just want to listen to, like, escapist
totally.
Music or, like, Charlie XCX or Britney Spears and stuff. Like, they don't want to hear it come from me. Mm-hmm. They just want to hear it come from, like, straight girls, which is really, really weird. And I guess we're just not quite there yet in our, like, culture to have it be like this. But I think that one thing that I've noticed is that a lot of musicians and artists have connected mm-hmm. with my music more than actual, like, gays. Mm. And so I think that that's something that maybe I'm proud of. I don't really know if it's just sort of leaked out somehow, but just my struggle, yeah, like, trying to be authentic in a city like Vancouver where it just feels like this odds have always been stacked against me. You know, it's like, it's a punk city, it's a guitar city. There's not much infrastructure for labels and stuff here. It's just, things have never quite lined up
totally
very well. And I think that it speaks to lots of musicians in this city who just know the struggles of it, and maybe they connect with that feeling of, like, yeah, like, striving to be heard.
Yeah, well, like you were saying, you know, you in Montreal, you arrive there, like so many young aspiring artists, you want to be a star, right? Like,
yeah.
you're chasing that dream of making it.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
I think so many people in chasing that end up, you know, like, trying to fit themselves into a particular mold or a particular,
absolutely.
You know, they want to fit into that idea of what gets popular and what,
yeah.
what explodes.
Yeah.
But then to see you, you know, obviously, as you've said, you chased that and then were devastated when it didn't happen. You moved here. You,
yeah.
you were reluctant to get involved in the scene for, you know, whatever variety of reasons.
Yeah.
But then to see you come and do this thing that, again, feels so very you and so very like, well, I don't care that 95% of the acts in Vancouver are like drums and distorted guitars and,
yeah.
and bass and screaming or whatever, and just doing that thing that you want to do, and it being very successful, at least within like Vancouver's independent music scene,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think that can be very inspiring for the reasons you said to other musicians who can then be like, okay, well, maybe if I'm myself and I just like be myself, people will like that.
Yeah, thanks. That's the dream. That'd be really. That's what I hope for, I guess. But yeah, all I can do is be myself. I don't know.
Of course.
I'm
of
like
course.
A role model or anything.
Well, we'll be setting up an academy in your name.
Thanks, Jesse.
We'll have everyone come by and get one-on-one tutoring lessons. Let's
actually, it's really funny that you said mm-hmm. tutoring.
Yeah.
I volunteer at a place called Community. It's an LGBT resource center mm-hmm. in the West End. And they created a program recently where I'm getting to teach queer youth how to make electronic music.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that is like kind of a dream.
Yeah.
But anyways, you can go to a song.
Sure. Let's leave the very interesting fact. We'll come back. Let's listen to Loudmouth, I guess.
Cool.
Because maybe... maybe just because that's the one I have pulled up, I guess.
Cool.
Thank you. living untucked and I need help. I wanna get fucked in a treehouse. I never speak up your loud mouth.
Loudmouth by Devours off the new record Sports Car Era here on the Vancouver Mixtape on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. That's our radio station. And we have Devours live in studio. Welcome back.
Hi.
That's welcome back both this time and welcome back to your
break.
Exactly. Jeff, before the break, you mentioned a tutoring thing, a program where you're teaching queer youth to make electronic music. I don't want to necessarily like make you break down like the whole program or anything, but I'm interested about that. Like how, both maybe a little bit, how did that come to be? But like what you said, that's sort of like a dream or a goal. What does that mean to you to have that opportunity?
Yeah, it's a neat opportunity. So basically, I've been volunteering there for the last few years, just doing like front desk stuff, nothing music related, just like taking calls and stuff like that. But yeah, community was given a whole bunch of musical equipment last summer, just as a donation from someone. And so they decided to create a program. So we ran it last fall. It was 4 workshops, I guess, where I was sort of teaching people like the meaning of music, songwriting, lyric writing, how to use Ableton, which I actually use Logic for all of my music, and I had to learn how to use Ableton for this, and it was a little bit confusing. But yeah, so that was neat. They've recently relaunched it. So last Tuesday, they brought it back. And so, yeah, it's every Tuesday now, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., and it's drop-in, and it is free.
That's
which
cool.
is really cool, yeah. So I don't really know if it's tutoring. People can just come and jam. We have a whole bunch of equipment set up, and I sort of teach them how to layer stuff and choose sounds, and yeah, so that's
cool.
It's been really neat, yeah.
For the gear nerd in me, what do you got set up? What's it look like?
I am not a gear nerd at all, actually. I don't know anything about gear. So
just
I've
a bunch of stuff.
Been trying to learn how to use it. Yeah. So there's a tablet and there's Ableton on it and there's a little Korg Nano Pad, like drum sort of sampler, and there is a small synth that people can play on, and there's a microphone. So yeah, it's nothing
everything
too like wild techie or anything. It's just like the basics for a little like home studio.
Well, that's good, because that's, you know, probably where people are going to start if they do decide to pursue it. And also, you know, sometimes limitations are great, you know?
Yeah. It's
John Cage in you.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting that you wouldn't profess as a gear nerd and then like make electronic based music. What's the do you ever feel the urge to dive into the world of gear, or is it just as intimidating as I don't know it feels to me?
yeah. I really like I don't want to sound pretentious or anything, but like I like sound design.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes I just use the sounds that are built into Logic, so nothing super fancy, but then I sort of like tweak them and change their pitches and layer them in certain ways. So I tend to just try to be resourceful with the things I can find, but I have a tiny little apartment. I can't fit anything in it. And so, yeah, I'm not big. I also don't have money, so I'm not really into going out and buying lots of gear.
Yeah, fair. And I mean, if you're used to, you know, making music through the computer, through Logic as your instrument or your instruments, then it can be a, I mean, if that's what you like to do, then why try to mess with that, I guess. And also, it's, as you said, it's expensive and takes up space.
Yeah, for sure.
I had mentioned earlier, I don't know if this was on air or off, but I'm moving. And one of the great the great things is that we get an extra room, and maybe I can leave a synthesizer or two set up instead of packing them up every single time I want to play one. So that's fun.
So one of the things, just shifting gears a little bit here, that I'm always so it popped into my head while we were talking about just like the authenticity behind the music that you make. One of the things that I think that you do a lot, you spend a lot of time on and are really good at doing, more so than other people in the scene locally, is cultivating a visual aesthetic
that.
And I feel like that's not a thing that we necessarily talk about a lot whenever we have you on. And then you mentioned a little bit the American Apparel adjacent take on it. But why is that important for you to have a visual component that accompanies the music? Like, why do you prioritize that? I don't know if you have a philosophy behind that at all, if you just see it as a full package. But
I think that it is a full package. You know, when I think of the artists who we listened to growing up, like Smashing Pumpkins, a lot of people didn't even realize how much they liked the band because Darcy was a girl and she was hot. You know what I mean? Like, people are very, like, visually based. Looks are very, very important. They're sadly the most important thing in the package. Like, you can make an awesome album, but if you don't dress it up properly, people won't listen to it. And I think that I learned that the hard way throughout my 20s, because I wasn't cool looking or especially attractive or anything. And I was making this music that I really, really believed in, but just didn't really have an image to go along with it. And I didn't have cool clothes, and people just never offered me shows. You know what I mean? And so it's like, whether it's in the music industry or the local scene, like, you kind of have to look the part. I hate even talking about this because it's gross, but that's, yeah, something that I don't really love about people and the music industry. But yeah, so I think that with Devours, it was a little bit of like a business strategy, honestly, of being like, I guess I need an image if I'm going to perform live. But I ended up loving it because it's really creative, you know? I think Devours has always been a sort of like an exploration, an expression of like my gender identity and fluidity and my chance to sort of like, yeah, wear blouses and dresses. And so it's actually been like progressive and helpful for me. And so, yeah. And also, it's a little bit of a long game. You know, this is album number 5 for me in Vancouver, and which is wild. It's really hard to keep people's attention for this long.
Totally.
I think that if there's anything that I'm proud of, it's that like people haven't gotten completely bored of me at this point. But it's hard, right? So it helps to sort of like change your image a little bit each time and keep people on their toes. And so it's a little bit, of like a strategy as well.
Well, and I always think of like even the bands that I've loved from this scene, they all kind of blend into one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
At least aesthetically, and like how they present either online or even present like their, not even like how they look, but how even the visual component of their music, whether that's album art or music videos, like it all more or less kind of blends together. But like,
yeah, for sure.
I'll be danged if somebody doesn't know, like, recognize a Devours piece, like a Devours aesthetic, and be able to coordinate that with like an album, you know what
okay,
I mean? Like,
thanks.
Instead of just like Devours being a singular thing, like, it's very clearly, I don't know, I think that's it's a really smart cohesion with like each record.
Thank you. Yeah. I've tried my best. I'm a musician. Like, I just want to make music. And every time I release an album, I'm like, okay, what should I do this time? Like, the visual component's a bit more challenging for me. I'm just a kind of a studio rat and want to just keep making music. And so, it's becoming a little bit more challenging, being like, okay, I'm bald. I don't know how many other things I can like put on my head this time, but I'm doing what I can.
So that's how it works for you, the music comes and then you're figuring out building on top of it.
Yeah, the music comes really quickly and easily, and then I have to spend like 6 months trying to like find a wardrobe
with
at thrift
the production
stores
design.
And being like, oh my god.
I think it's interesting too because, you know, as you said, you're a musician, you're a studio rat, like you like the writing of music, but unfortunately, the world we live in, just writing songs and putting them out is not really, it doesn't pay the bills unless you're one of the like 0.00001% that quote unquote make it in that way, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But so you have to perform, you have to do all these other things, and it becomes it just becomes more than just the music in that sense, right?
Oh, and I feel like of everything that I do, music is like 8%
mm-hmm.
of it, and 92% is like
the hustle,
business,
yeah,
merch. I guess networking, promoting. there's a lot that goes into it. Anyway, and I think that's why I started the Golden Age of Wrestling, actually,
mm-hmm.
was because I was starting to get disillusioned at the time. And I'm like, I just want to make music.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I try to, you know, have like a steady stream of stuff that I'm working on that keeps me sort of in my happy place. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into it.
You are playing as part of Juno Fest coming up.
Yeah, this
is, how crazy is that?
It's crazy. Yeah, I didn't apply.
Oh yeah, right. That's cool.
Yeah, which is it's an honor. I heard from Music BC. Maybe this is supposed to be like a secret, but yeah, they reached out and asked me to play, and it is an honor. Yeah, I mean, I think getting nominated for Polaris was like one of the highlights of my entire life.
Totally.
And then the Junos, I've always just been like, well, it's for like Nickelback and like the mainstream artists and stuff like that. So I never really thought much of it. But yeah, there are a few really cool bands who are playing this year. Piss, mm-hmm. the band who opened my release show last night. They're so good. And they are playing, which is crazy. They've only been a band for a year. They have like an absurd amount of buzz in Vancouver Wild. Right now. And they're playing. So yeah, the lineup's actually pretty cool. And grateful for the Junos. Thank you, Michael Bublé.
he selected Devours personally, I hear.
Absolutely, he did.
Yeah.
It's cool. Vancouver connects.
Do we want to... Is there a Piss song you'd like to hear?
Ooh.
Time Loop at Hot Slit?
Yeah, I think that's... Let's do that one.
All right, here it is on the Vancouver mixtape.
Millions and millions of pictures are made of us in postures of submission and sexual access. And the major motif of pornography as a form of entertainment is that women are raped and violated and humiliated until we discover that we like it. And at that point, we ask for more.
Time Loop at Hot Slit by Piss. Opened for you this past, last night, I guess.
They were amazing.
Oh, sorry, your mic was off, Jeff. But
oh.
You did say that they were amazing. I want
yeah,
to convey
rules.
That. And I mean, also, you know, we, as Jamie brought up earlier, we're well aware of your sort of rock, heavy music, new metal. Yeah. Influences and past yeah. and tendencies, but you know the I don't know the average Devours listener, the average Devours concert attendee. Do you think How did the crowd react to the variety of music that they encountered at your show? Like,
really good question. Yeah, I think that people were polite. They were good sports. I think that some of the friends I have, especially in the gay community, didn't really want to hear like punk, and so they skipped the first band and then came a little bit later. But that's typically how album release shows go. There are going to be some people that are like people in the scene, like music people that show up and want to see everyone, and then there are just like family friends who come who just don't only want to see you. But yeah, people were good sports. There were a ton of people for Piss. Mm-hmm. I thought that it would be a little bit quieter, but they were already like a few hundred people in the audience watching them. Yeah, so it was cool. I have a question for Jamie.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yes. What's going on with self-care?
Oh, self-care. We have a single release show at Bullies. I don't know if you've...
I haven't played at Bullies yet. It's in New West, right?
Yeah.
Cool. March 21st, am I
March
right?
March 21st at Bullies with a couple bands, Pen Pal Aloha, who is a like nice little replacements adjacent kind of pop rock band that I've become quite fond of, and they're really nice people. And then this other like young emo pop punk upstart band called Story's End. So we're releasing our latest single, a little baseball adjacent song called Little Big League on the 21st. So that's gonna be fun. And then we're just in the booking stages of our own album release show on May 3rd.
Whoa.
Maybe May 3rd.
Okay, this is crazy spoilers. Reveal. I didn't know that you had an entire album that
we
you were sitting on.
A whole record that we've been sitting on for about a year.
I'm glad that self-care is back. It's been a little bit quiet. I wasn't
We're back, baby.
Sure. Yeah, this is big. This is your year.
We just did... in September we did a Blue Light Sessions.
Oh, right on.
And
that's great.
I think the video just came out, but it like came out to they like to tell us when it went out. So, yeah, we got that when you circulate that. But yeah, those are the fun things that are coming out for me.
Good.
But I guess what's next for you? So you had the big show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's next for me is trying to find a stable job. So yeah, life has not been very glamorous this past while, but yeah, I'll do my best to sort of handle like the vinyl orders and merch and interviews for the next like week or two. So things are going to start to calm down soon. And yeah, I'm going to play a bunch of festivals. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to announce them yet, but yeah, like through the summer, there are a few big ones that are sort of outside of BC.
Great.
That I'll be playing that I'm excited for. My happy place is just like making more music.
Yeah.
That's my like number one favorite thing. And so I'm already like seven songs deep,
into the next album.
Like, making more. And I just want to keep going with no limitations. Maybe it'll be a triple album. I don't know. I just need to like keep the framework in my head of just like that's something that I've struggled with over the years. It's like I'll make 10 songs within the space of 3 months. And then I'll be like, okay, Jeff, stop making music now because it'll sound old by the time it eventually gets released.
Right.
And I'm trying to do this like one album every 2 year cycle thing, like in the industry. Mm-hmm. And it's not making me very happy.
Right.
And so I just want to have like a steady stream. Just do it for fun.
Do it on your terms instead of what the
Yeah.
What
yeah.
You
and that's
think the
easier said
needs.
Than done, but I'm trying now that I've entered my 40s. I'm like, yeah, Jeff, just do what makes you happy. The industry didn't really want you, and it's fine. Just, like, do it.
Well, and I would say...
Do it on your own terms.
Doing what you want has been relatively successful compared to doing what the industry wants, right?
Thanks. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, we've certainly felt like the benefactors of it, just we being, like, music lovers in the city. It's nice when someone, like, really gives a dang. And then has some staying power and longevity. Like, there's I forget what the saying is. My brain's a little melted, but like,
it's
there's
okay.
the consistency of Devours has just been like really grounding. Like,
thank you.
Something that you know that it's going to be quality and it's going to Devours is going to be playing sometime this year. I'll be able to see Jeff do your thing. So
thank you.
That's always very good to know, and I think this scene is very blessed for it. Not to just spend an hour pumping your tires.
You guys are really nice. Thank you very much.
Why else have Jeff on than to pump his tires for an hour? I do want to ask, we're nearing the last 10 minutes or so of our time together. You know, you've done this collaboration on stage with Dave from Japan Droids. We know you've collaborated with Future Star in the past.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Do you have any other sort of dream collaborations or people you'd like to work with?
Ooh, really good question. Yeah, so I've been reflecting a lot this past year on just like, what is my actual future? Like, I don't know. I don't want to sound like depressing, but yeah, Vancouver is a hard city. It's so hard to tour out this city. And I sometimes, I don't have like a booking agent in Europe or anything. Like there are certain levels that I would love to get to, but it hasn't happened. And so I've been trying to be realistic this past while and be like, should I just work as a producer for people? Should I just try to be a songwriter for other people? You know, moving into my 40s, in this entire new chapter. Yeah, I really want to collaborate with more people. I still like doing remixes for people. I'm working on a song with Walgren.
Cool.
Right now, Tegan's insanely talented.
Yeah.
The song is really catchy, actually. I hope that it eventually comes out. Hopefully a few more remixes for people this year. I think it would be fun to work with like Kylie V or something, just like a younger talent. But you're like tapping into something that's really been on my mind a lot, actually, this past while. It's like, how do I move forward? And then with Golden Age of Wrestling, I've done some stuff for like podcasts and a few like indie video games and stuff. And I've always seen that project as like not necessarily as like pop or commercial, or like I rarely get show offers for it and stuff like that. But I see it almost having more potential long term than Devours, because Devours is such a like, there's so much pressure on like me aesthetically, and you know, as a pop product or whatever. In Golden Age, I can just like be hiding under a veil and just make like film music for the next 30 years.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And so that's something that's on my mind as well, is like, where do I want to take that project, and should I just get into like film scoring or something? So yeah, we'll see.
Cool.
Jesse,
yes,
who's been a local band in the last like 6 months or so that you've discovered where you're like, oh, I like that?
Oh my goodness. Exposed for not listening to music recently.
I do
have one. And this is, I'm very lucky because this literally just happened to me in the last like 3 weeks, and I've been listening to their record nonstop. But the Houseplants, H-A-U-S.
Oh, they're really talented.
Yes, so good.
Yeah, I played a show with them last summer, I think, and yeah, they have an interesting blend of styles.
Totally, and they just put out a record called Into Equilibrium that I believe has topped the charts at CJSF for 2 weeks in a row.
Whoa!
Is it a full length, or is it an EP?
It's 5-6 tracks, but they're all like
five length,
5 or 6 minutes, so it's kind of in the middle
gray
there.
Area. Those are always so tricky.
Yeah, it's really cool. It like you're saying, it mixes. They mix a whole bunch of different styles. And it's this, there's this like kind of like droney post punky thing, but then they've also sometimes got horns and very cool. I like them.
You did mention them, I think, in our last show that we did together.
Yeah, that's when they started their ascent.
Yeah, and
then I played them on every show I did that week and the next week. And so.
I was almost 100% certain you were going to say King Bob.
Oh, also love King Bob, which is Victoria. But
I'll check them out. I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, very earnest pop rock, pop punk in that vein. Very like pro worker, and just
like pro working class.
Yeah, the songwriter front person is Jackson McDonald, who's the host of a Canucks podcast called Roxy Fever. Is like the most leftist Vancouver Canucks podcast. He like works as a line cook, and so that experience is very, it's very autobiographical and like direct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah.
More unionist emo.
Exactly. Yeah. I really like it, and not just because I like the podcast.
So, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
King Bob.
After the Recess character, King Bob. I don't know if you were a Disney's Recess fan back in the
I know of it. I didn't see it.
So I'm a little bit too old. We'll forgive you. We'll forgive you.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. Knowledge of the cartoon is not necessary to enjoy the Rock, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's we're getting down to the end of it. Jeff, do you have anything? Any final thoughts?
If you're listening, thanks for supporting the Vancouver Mixtape. Jamie and Jesse have been doing this for a long time, and they're amazing people. I love doing this. I think this was my first interview ever as Devourers was doing this with you guys.
Wow. Oh, really? Oh,
I think so. Yeah. And I'm just as giddy now as I was back then to come in and talk to you guys. This is really fun. Thank you, everyone, for supporting me and Vancouver music.
Yeah, and your new album, Sports Car Era, comes out March 14th.
Yeah, I'm releasing it on Surviving the Game, which is my own sort of fake vanity label. But it's coming out on vinyl and digital Friday, March 14th. I will be playing a lot of shows this year, so hopefully see you around.
Yeah, and that limited edition deluxe opaque gray and black vinyl limited run looks very, very nice.
Yeah, they're very nice.
You can pre-order that on Bandcamp right now. Okay, well, that's it for the Vancouver Mixtape. So thanks, Jeff. So nice to have you on once again.
Thank you.
Next time anything you do happens, we'll be sure to have you back on.
Absolutely.
It's always a treat.
Thank you.
And you out there, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. I am Jesse.
I'm Jamie.
That's Jamie. We're the Vancouver Mixtape. See you next time.